Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to another service from Unity Center of Light, from our home to your home. We look forward to bringing this to you today. And please be aware that, Zoom, we have a Zoom fellowship right after this. We invite you to come and be a part of that. That's where you get to see your Unity family, listen to great music. We're going to have some interesting poetry today. So please be a part of that. And also, hopefully you know that there is a membership meeting today, a family membership meeting at 1 o'clock. And please,
virtual.
Virtual, of course. And so please be a part of that so you can hear what's happening. We want to get your views on, where we go from here, and, to hear we can give you what, the state and the county and the city are saying about where we go from here. So please be a part of that. You can find the information in your e-newsletter or your weekly update for that meeting, as well as a Zoom fellowship. So we look forward to seeing you there.
And you are.
Thank you. And I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pam Mosby.
And we will get started with Pamela.
Thank you. Good morning, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement together. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. Now we will have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, April the 25th. The key word is thankful. The affirmation is, thankfulness is my heart's natural expression. I need no special reason to be thankful, no list of blessings to inspire gratitude. Unity author Reverend Eric Butterworth wrote, "One can be grateful with the same spontaneity as being happy. It simply flows from within and becomes a causative energy. With a thankful mind and heart, I release worry and frustration, trusting that my every need will be met. I discover more of God's presence in myself and others everywhere I go. I see possibilities for good even in challenging circumstances. Eager to share my thankfulness, I welcome opportunities to be of service to others, just as I gratefully accept blessings shared with me. I live in the flow of life, love, peace, and abundant beauty. I am thankful." And the scripture is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And now we will have the message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. Well, welcome to another service. We are going to continue with what we were talking about last week. To heal is to correct our perception, or to correct our perception is to heal. Right? There's a lot going on in the world today, in our country. So let's begin with a prayer of strength. And this prayer of strength is found in Ephesians 3, 14 through 20. "When I think of all that is happening in the world, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and earth. I pray from the power and presence of God in my life, I will be empowered with inner strength through Christ in me. I pray that Christ will make his home in my heart as I trust in him more and more each moment of each day. I pray that my roots will grow down deep into God's love and keep me strong so that I will have the courage to know how wide, how long, how high, and how deep God's love is for me. I pray that I will experience the love of Christ even though it is too great for me to fully understand. And then I will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. I give all glory to God who is able through Christ at work within me to accomplish infinitely more through me than I am able to even ask for or imagine. Okay. So this is a prayer of inner strength and, you know, deep spiritual connection. It's not a prayer of supplication, but rather it is an affirmative prayer, and that is how we pray in unity. And in this prayer, we pray knowing, not wondering, believing, not worrying. We pray from love and not from any of its opposites. We pray this prayer to allow God to make us aware that we are more than we believe we are. We are more than what may be challenging us. We are more than what we are actually praying for. So even as we pray, there is so much more that's available to us that we're not even able to ask in prayer. But the fact that we are surrendering ourselves in prayer makes that unknown available to us. And this is the kind of prayer that can heal us by connecting or correcting our perceptions so that we can be, you know, a healing presence, not only for ourselves, but in the lives of the people that we touch. And that's the nature of Bible scripture, you know. As Charles Fillmore explains in the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, the Bible is from Genesis to Revelation, in its inner or spiritual meaning, a record of the experiences that caused the spiritual awakening of the human soul and humanity's relationship to God, our Creator. Okay? Now, as we've been studying, the purpose of spiritual study is not to reinforce our perceptual reality, what we believe to be real. That's not the purpose of spiritual study. You know, it's not to make us become more ingrained in what is happening in the world. Rather, it's meant to disturb or disrupt our perceptual reality. Okay? And a lot of times, when you're hearing, you know, these ideas, these spiritual ideas, you might go, wow, you know, I don't even know how I can implement that or even understand how that's supposed to work in my life. But that's the nature of spiritual study, is to disrupt and disturb our intellectual understanding of what life is all about. You know, as we read many times before, Jesus affirmed in Matthew 10:34, when he said, "Do not think that I came to bring peace to earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." And the sword Jesus, you know, spoke of is the truth that he taught, which is so radically different from our present perception of what we believe is real. So Jesus' teachings cuts through our intellect like a sword, creating turmoil in our mind, soul, and spirit as we struggle to hang on to our old way of being and thinking. Okay? But the turmoil will last only as long as we resist receiving and embracing the divine understanding that we're actually praying for. So the study of spiritual principle is more than just the correction of our conscious intellect. In order for us to be successful in understanding and applying spiritual principles to the circumstances in our lives, we must be open to the fact that these principles transcend reality as we know it. Okay? So when you hear these teachings from Scripture and other sacred texts, you know, they are going to transcend reality as we know it. And in a sense, it's like the study of Jungian theory, the study of depth psychology that he was into, which takes into account that our thought energy is both conscious and unconscious, with a steady flow of information between these two realms. And these two realms encompass our body, mind, spirit, and soul. So in prayer, it is our mission to get all these elements, body, mind, spirit, and soul, okay, to work together in harmony to bring about an inner state of oneness. Now keep in mind that Jesus taught the science of spiritual relationships, which is 1 + 1 = 1, as in I and the Father are one. However, one meaning unity, not singularity. And I will explain that more probably in next week's lesson. Okay? This idea that one means unity and not singularity. So when Jesus says, "I and the Father are one," he wasn't talking about singularity. He was talking about unity. And like I said, we'll talk more about that next week. So if we take into account body, mind, soul, and spirit as being 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 1, we are referring to creating a state of unity within ourselves, living the undivided life. And it is in this state of inner unity that the correction of our perception creates a new reality, which leads to healing. And if any of these elements is out of whack, it frustrates the healing process. Okay, so not remembering this, not knowing this, not practicing this, keeps us in a state of constant turmoil and frustration, worry, doubt, and fear. Oneness and wholeness is our true natural state. All right. So in a revealing word, we read, wholeness is the perfect unification of spirit, soul, mind, and body. So true healing means to make whole. It is living the undivided life. And there are so many things, you know, so many experiences in our lives that divide us, both externally and internally. And there are so many things that have happened in the past year, the past months, the past weeks, the past days, that have divided us, both externally and internally. And we have all, you know, we all have good, justifiable reasons for feeling whatever we are feeling. Let me say that again. We all have good, justifiable reasons for feeling whatever it is we are feeling. However, Jesus answers the Pharisees who were trying to test him with the question, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus responded, when you know this, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. He said, this is the first and the great commandment. But then the second is you should love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, and here's the key, hang all the law and the prophets. So basically he's saying on these two commandments hangs everything, okay? You should love the Lord your God with all your mind, all your strength, and all your soul. You should love your neighbor as yourself. Basically what that's getting to is the idea of self-love. So this scripture is talking about self-love. All right, because you cannot love another if you cannot first love yourself. So love God, love your neighbor, love yourself. That's sort of a flow that happens, all right? And this is not self-love like we normally think about it. Here we're referring to divine love, which pulls together all the aspects of your being. This love pulls together your spirit, soul, mind, and body into one unified state of wholeness, glorifying God day and night. Okay? Now, day being the times when there's, you know, great joy in our life, and night being the times when there's fear in our lives. So we're trying to figure out how do we bring these together. And at this point in your spiritual study, I think each one of us are able to distinguish our days from our nights, our joys from our fears. And know that in both of these scenarios, we must remain undivided in spirit, soul, mind, and body, all right? No matter what you're going through. Knowing that God is truly in charge of your life and affairs. So a question we probably need to ask ourselves is, are we trying to establish peace and a sense of unity in the outer world before we have established peace and a sense of unity in our inner world? Are we more comfortable trying to make changes in the outer world because it allows us to remain safe and secure as we are, while hoping that everybody and everything else will change, right? And that's a critical question because that's what a lot of things may be happening. I don't know, it may be happening, all right? That we're all doing these things because we want to see the outer world change. But unless we change within, the outer world is only going to keep mirroring what we are projecting. So, you know, have we developed an unconscious inner system that fears and avoids real inner change? Okay. So if it is possible that we are proclaiming peace in the world while trying to maintain our divided, dualistic way of being at the same time, we will never see change happen. The change must happen first within each one of us. And maybe the question for each of us to ponder is, what do we really believe about what we say we believe? especially in the midst of all that is challenging our God-centered beliefs right now. So what do we really believe about what we say we believe, right? So to question these or answer these questions, let's shift gears a bit and look at three possible mindsets we may be slipping in and out of, making it difficult to establish a sense of true inner oneness. Now, the three belief systems or three ways of looking at beliefs that we're going to explore is that of an atheist, an agnostic, and a Gnostic. So that we're all on the same page, let me just kind of define these. So an atheist is defined as one who denies the existence of God. To be an atheist, there is no God. Okay? So if you're an atheist, you do not believe there is a God. Whereas an agnostic is defined as one who believes that you cannot prove or disapprove the existence of God. So an agnostic asserts that it is impossible for human beings to know anything about how the universe was created and whether or not divine beings even exist. But it's curious that even though agnostics believe that there can be no proof of the existence of God, they do not deny the possibility that God exists. Okay? So what is interesting note about these definitions is that we can consciously or unconsciously slip in and out of these categories without realizing it, depending on the circumstances we find ourselves in. Okay? You've heard the question a lot of times, you know, how could God, if there is a God, how could God allow to go on what's going on? All right? And so I'm saying, you have to stay kind of aware of what you're thinking about because you may be slipping from one of those dynamics to another. Right? Now, as true students, we're all in search of some proof that God is real, present, and active in our life and affairs. We're not quite agnostic in the full sense of the definition, but for the most part, we typically are not completely Gnostic either. Okay? So a Gnostic is one who values the revealed knowledge of God. In other words, a Gnostic is not searching for an intellectual understanding of God, but rather it is an inner knowing of the power and presence of God that the Gnostic seeks. A person gains gnosis from actually experiencing the divine in his or her life and affairs, thus coming to know the power and presence of God in their lives without question. Okay? So as a one TV character expressed, a person grows from the greatness of his or her task. A person grows from the greatness of his or her task. Meaning, gnosis comes by way of an experiential process rather than an intellectual process. So when you look back over your life and recall some of the toughest experiences you've ever been through, just think for a moment. What are the toughest experiences in my life that I've been through? And looking at these experiences through the lens of the spiritual knowledge you have gained, can you perceive the gnosis you may have gained, gnosis being firsthand knowledge of the reality of God in your life, okay? So gnosis is the intuitive apprehension of spiritual truth. To apprehend is to capture. So intuitive apprehension of spiritual truth is to capture in your heart, soul, mind, and body that God is real, present, and active in your life and affairs. And once the reality of God is truly embedded within the very essence of your being, the perceptions of your ego will be superseded. Okay? So once you have touched gnosis, if you're body, mind, soul, and spirit feel out of alignment with perfect health and prosperity and love and joy, you will know without a doubt that this is not your true reality. You will know that it is a false perception, and you will no longer allow it to captivate or trap you within its psychological or emotional clutches. Okay? So this is, again, a conscious process you have to always be in tune with about what I'm feeling and what state of consciousness is this putting me into, okay? Now, right now, most of us are captivated by the ego's reality, which is you know, centered mostly in the material world, all right? The ego acts on the paradigm that the physical phenomena, that physical phenomena is real, and faith in God still has to be proven, all right? Now, be, you know, listen to what I'm saying. The, you know, we, the ego operates on the fact that the physical phenomena is real, and faith in God has to be proven. So in a sense, our ego is agnostic, because our ego does not yet know without a shadow of a doubt that God is real. Instead, it has at best an intellectual translation of faith rather than an unshakable application of faith. But that comes from a deep inner knowing that God is real and present in all of our life and affairs. Okay? And as Jesus said in John 4:10, if you only knew the gift of God, if you only knew the gift of God, okay, if we only knew the gift of God, right, we would no longer allow ourselves to be captivated and trapped by our delusional perceptions of reality. And I know that's a hard thing to think about because, again, operating from the state of mind that we're in right now, what is happening right now is not to us an illusion. It's real. It's real because of where we are in consciousness. What we're talking about in this, in all of these talks, is what is possible, okay? The challenge is what is possible is what is the real challenge for us, meaning that it shatters, or it starts to shatter our existing belief. That's the sword that Jesus was talking about. I did not bring peace, but I brought a sword, okay? And so that's the that's what makes this so challenging. So what we are talking about are our potentialities. And again, not something that we're just going to be able to do right away, okay? Because again, you know, the Gnostic, through the practice of living the conscious, ever-awakening life, devotes a deeply personal inner awareness of God in his or her life, okay? Or develops a deeply personal inner awareness of God in his or her life that supersedes the ego's reality. And that's what we're talking about. Right now, these principles are interesting to us, but do they have, are we giving them the ability to supersede our ego's reality? That's the challenge. So it's like we hold them in a place in our mind that's called the intellect, and not releasing them, the releasing the power of them into the aspects of our being that will cause it, those, these new ideas, these ideas we're studying, to supersede the ego's reality. And yes, I agree that we are true believers in the power and presence of God. But have we truly moved from intellectual knowing to spiritual knowing? The challenge with intellectual knowing, it is not first-hand knowledge. It's second-hand knowledge that we acquired from someone else, whether from reading the Bible or other sacred books or hearing it from a lecturer or a sermon, you know, right? Even hearing it from the sermon right now, you know, as we take this in, it is basically second-hand knowledge. All right. Even as I put it together, I was putting it together from secondhand knowledge. Now, some of it is from an intuitive sense that I had as I was working on putting together the talk. Okay, but a lot of these ideas are secondhand knowledge. We hold our body of knowledge to be real, the body of knowledge we have now. We hold this body of knowledge to be real because we received it from an external source that we considered to be an authority on the subject. Okay. But our second-hand intellectual knowledge remains second-hand knowledge until we have first-hand experience with it, right? As the sensei said to the student in the movie Electra, I don't know if anybody's seen that, Electra, he says, some lessons can't be taught. They have to be lived to be understood. An example of this wisdom is that the belief in prayer does not reach the level of gnosis until you come to know with absolute certainty that prayer works every time, in every situation, no matter what. When you've reached that state, you've reached a state of gnosis. Intellectual knowledge of truth does not reach the level of gnosis until you know with absolute certainty that your prayer is answered in the moment that you prayed. And to reach the reality of gnosis, you must come to know firsthand that faith works, peace works, love works, joy works, And you must come to know it with first-hand experience that these divine attributes are at work in every situation with every person, no matter what, even before there is physical evidence that they're working. All right? So physical reality is the paradigm of our ego. Physical reality is a paradigm of our ego, causing us to look to the world for solutions to our problems and stimulus for our happiness. Right? This is the basis for the thinking of the agnostic, who needs physical evidence as proof of what is real. Simply, if it cannot be detected by the five senses, the agnostic, you know, can't be sure that it exists. All right? So the Gnostic, however, operates under a different paradigm, one who is striving to know God as first cause, that which underlies all that exists. The Gnostic comes to know that there is a truth that transcends reality of the ego. The Gnostic operates from the meta-paradigm that there is only one power and one presence in the universe, active in my life and affairs, God, the good, omnipotent. And for the Gnostic, this is the paradigm that transcends all other paradigms, right? So when Jesus said in Luke 2:49, I must be about my Father's business, the business he spoke of is our business also. If it is the business, it is the business of doing the work necessary to allow the inner shift to occur from ego to Christ, from agnostic to Gnostic, making the quantum leap to believe in becoming one who actually knows, all right? And as Paul explains in Philippians 3:12-14, he said, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of for me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me forward in Christ Jesus. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have our meditation with Pamela.
Let's take a moment now to relax and allow ourselves to pause and to become still. If you wish, you may close your eyes to block out any distractions that may be around you. Take a deep breath and feel yourself begin to relax a little more. Be aware of your body as you breathe in and out. Allow any tension to gently slip away. In this moment, you let go of any troubles on your heart and your mind as you become fully present to this now moment. I invite you now to take the following words as your very own. I find that it doesn't take that much time out of my day to find peace, sweet peace. True peace is in me always. As I quiet my mind and relax my body, I find that there is a deep peace already there. In this moment of stillness, I feel this tranquil presence within me. Silently affirm to yourself, in quiet times of prayer, I am filled with a sense of tranquility. In quiet times of prayer, I am filled with a sense of tranquility. I feel this deep peace filling me from my toes to the top of my head. Inner peace is a quiet choice, a choice that is within that no one sees and that no one hears. It's a gentle and simple state of being. Fully embracing each moment, whatever that is, brings peace. Nothing can disturb the calm peace of my soul as I open myself to the divine power within. As I breathe in and out once more, I feel a peaceful oneness with all of life. And now let us come ye apart a while into the silence. Use this wonderful time to pray, receive answers to your prayers, and to be still. Gracious Spirit, we thank you for this time. We thank you for answered prayers in the name and nature of our elder brother and wayshower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is. Amen. Slowly now come back to your surroundings, and as you continue on with the rest of your day and your evening, remember that the Unity Center of Light is always here for you. And for this, we are truly grateful. Amen.
That was wonderful. So this is a time where we open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that flows into our personal lives to flow into supporting our spiritual home. As always, we acknowledge all of the wonderful gifts that you've been donating to Unity Center of Light to support us during these very interesting times, and we continue to have our hearts open to all of you with thankfulness for all that you do for us. So with that in mind, let's say our prosperity prayer together.
Offering
blessing. Thank you.
We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light.
Amen. Now you have light notes.
Yes. We have light notes for today. Our virtual annual meeting will take place today at 1 p.m. At that time, we will be revising bylaws, electing new board members, reviewing the happenings during 2020, and learning about plans for the upcoming year. All are encouraged to attend. Only members can vote. Butch, you're going to speak about the quorum.
Yes.
Yes, okay. Please join us each weekday of your choice for keeping the High Watch prayer call for a 15-minute prayer pause at 4 p.m. During that time, we will go within and reconnect with Spirit and one another. We use silence, contemplation, readings, affirmative prayers, and more. We shift our focus from the chaos of the outer to the peace of God within us. The link is in your weekly update. The book clubs next. The Book Light Book Club's next discussion will be on the book called Begin Again by Eddie Gloud, and that'll be discussed on June the 13th. This book is a powerful study of how to bear witness in a moment when America is called to do the same. The group meets from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Please find the link in your updates. That concludes our light notes for today.
Yeah, and just to reinforce that the meeting we're having this afternoon, we need to have a quorum, so we ask everybody who is a member, especially, to be there so we have a quorum and can vote on our new board members, our bylaws changes, and all the things that are important for the continued running of the center. But all are invited. Everybody is invited Only members can vote, and we ask to make sure all members are there today.
Right.
All right. So with that in mind, let me just step up for a minute.
We're going to bless the path that we each will walk this week.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto. Together.
Right.
I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful.
All right, and we're going to go right into our prayer for
protection.
The light of God surrounds us.
I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well, and that's the truth.
All right. So we now have, it's been great having this service with you today. We look forward to seeing you in Zoom fellowship right after this, and we also look forward to seeing you at our 1 o'clock membership meeting today. So with that, everybody, have a wonderful week.
We'll see you later.
All right.
Bye-bye.